holy sweet mother of God shit.
Hello, hello, hello.
What the hell are you doing?
I hope no one's eating dinner.
The next best thing, every Monday night from 10 until midnight on Radio Free Brooklyn. Fun for everyone except for...
Dear Jesus.
Something like that.
I feel that I could be in Cooperstown. I think I put the numbers down. I put the numbers up that would lead you into the Hall of Fame. But I think, you know, with me, my greatest accomplishment might have been starting the Negro League Baseball Museum here in Kansas City, which tells that story. Uh-huh. So if it's to be, one day I might be in the Hall of Fame. But don't weep for Buck. Oh, man, just feel happy just like I am. Be thankful just like I am that I can do and have done the things that I did do.
Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to The Next Best Thing. I'm your host, Jonathan B. Lerner, keeping you company every Monday night from 10 until midnight right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. That, of course, was the legendary baseball man, the Negro Leagues baseball player, manager, scout, one of the first African-American scouts in Major League Baseball, a pioneer. Right up there along the likes of Jackie Robinson. In fact, he played with Jackie Robinson for the Kansas City Monarchs. Took me a while to find the right clip, but we got there eventually. What I really wanted to hear and what I wanted everyone to hear was that very last part. Let's see if we can find it again.
Don't weep for Buck. Oh, man. Just feel happy just like I am. Be thankful just like I am that I can do and have done the things that I did do.
He said that during an interview with Keith Olbermann. It was right after he had fought so long and hard to get members of the Negro Leagues at the very least eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Because they spent so many years discriminated against and not allowed to play in the major leagues, all of their records, pitching, batting, fielding, run, I mean, stolen bases, all of the records that they set and that really in many ways surpassed anything that was going on in Major League Baseball at the time were just kind of poo-pooed. They were kicked aside, kicked to the curb, tossed under the rug, and acted like they didn't exist. And that was wrong. And he fought long and hard to get people at least on the ballot. And of course, people like Satchel Paige, so many others, they ended up getting elected to the Hall of Fame. Buck O'Neill was on that ballot, and he did not get elected. And it was, I mean, obviously very difficult for him. How could it not be? But the message, the everlasting message that he had for people was, hey, don't weep for me. You know, maybe it'll happen for me someday. By the way, Buck O'Neill died in his late 90s, back in 2006, maybe a year and a half, he finally was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It should have happened when he was alive. It didn't. But his outgoing message to the world was, don't weep for me. You know, one day maybe it'll happen. Who knows? At least I had a chance. But bottom line, don't weep for me. Be happy just like I am. Be thankful just like I am, that I have done and can do the things that I did do. Be thankful for what you have, for what you've been able to do, and for what you've accomplished. Maybe it wasn't everything you wanted. Maybe it wasn't everything you hoped. But it wasn't nothing. And that really resonates with me today. We'll get into it in a minute. Because one of our top news stories is something you perhaps read about today, but it hits home. It very much directly impacts yours truly, which, frankly, you're not supposed to let happen. You know, this is the news, but frankly, this is not, I'm not the Associated Press, not even, you know, NBC Nightly News. I'm no Lester Holt. I'm not even a journalist. So I'm going to share my feelings. I just have to hear it one more time.
I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get in. I feel that I could be in Cooperstown. I think I put the numbers down. I put the numbers up that would lead you into the Hall of Fame. But I think, you know, with me, my greatest accomplishment might have been starting the Negro League Baseball Museum here in Kansas City, which tells that story. So if it's to be, one day I might be in the Hall of Fame. But don't weep for Buck. Oh, man, just feel happy just like I am. Be thankful just like I am that I can do and have done the things that I did do.
And for what it's worth, here's how that interview ended right after that comment he made.
Buck, I said this 10 years ago when we sat down to talk about Jackie Robinson. I'll say it again. It's an honor just to know you, sir. And thank you for everything you've done for baseball. Thank you for everything you've done for this country.
The pleasure's all mine, and I thank you very much for having old Buck on here to talk a little. Thank you.
And by the way, I'm still going to push to get you in the Hall of Fame anyway.
Hey, don't stop. Keep it up.
So see a little human element there. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. Don't stop fighting for me. I deserve it. But bottom line, be thankful, be happy. I don't know why that gets me emotional. I think it's just been a rough day, folks. We'll talk about it. You're listening to The Next Best Thing on Radio Free Brooklyn. Oh, boy. Let me just brace myself, and then we can get into it. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will dive headfirst into what's going on in the news, what's going on in the world, and how it does directly impact yours truly. All right. Did you know that Radio Free Brooklyn has a free iPhone and Android app?
No.
That's right. You no longer need to be chained to your computer to listen. Just download the Radio Free Brooklyn app from the App Store or Google Play so you can listen to independent community radio wherever you go.
No.
You can find the iPhone app by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone. And the Android app is available at radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android. So download the app today and listen to RFB wherever you are.
This is The Next Best Thing.
You're listening to The Next Best Thing. Here's what's making news tonight.
All right, folks. Yes, here's what's making news tonight. You'll have to forgive me for being a little scattered. I think you'll understand in just a minute. Let's get to the first news story, shall we? Perhaps you heard, but if not, get ready. I'm going to tell you all about it. Today, Spotify, the music and podcast and now audiobook streaming giant, laid off 17% of its workforce. I swear. That was not me reacting with rage. That was just my water bottle falling onto the ground. So this was the third round of layoffs this year. 17% of the workforce. Now, Spotify is not Amazon. Spotify is not even Apple or Google. Spotify, compared to those tech giants, is a relatively small company. Less than 10,000 people work there as of 24 hours ago. 17% is over 1,500 people.
Oh my God.
Not that it would matter. Even if we were a company of 8 million, 17% is a huge chunk. But when you add it with the other two rounds of layoffs, it's 25%. Spotify, in this year of 2023, has cut 25% of the workforce.
Good Lord.
That is massive. Now, the first round, I believe, was 6%. Second round, the first round, by the way, came in January or February, 6%. Second round came in June, 2%. This round, 17%. I didn't see it coming. Maybe that's on me. Now, full disclosure, and I mentioned this probably once every single episode, but I work for Spotify. Correction. I worked for Spotify.
Oh my God, no!
Yeah, that's correct. I survived the first two rounds of layoffs. I did not survive this third. Now you'll probably understand why I started the show with Buck O'Neill saying, just be happy like he was. Be thankful like he was that you can do and have done the things that you did do. I am trying very hard to view this as a blessing in disguise. Having said that, it is very, it's never fun. It's always scary. It's always, especially when it is so sudden. Let me explain. Now, I survived the first two rounds of layoffs, as I already said, but I remember being shocked, being really kind of shaken by what happened to those who didn't. You see, in all of our various Slack channels and whatnot, we got news, we got the email, which, by the way, Spotify is a Swedish company, so it's headquartered in Sweden. And given the time differences, the email about these layoffs, these massive layoffs from CEO Daniel Ek went out, came to our inboxes around 1 a.m. last night. 1 a.m. last night. Most people were in bed because they had work in the morning, or so they thought. I, being the creature of the night that I am, was not in bed, but I was getting close. I was getting close, and it said, those of you impacted by these, you know, this change will receive a calendar invite from HR within the next 2 hours.
You gotta be kidding me.
This was at 1 a.m., so I thought, oh, I mean, I was not going to go to bed before 3 a.m. at that point. I just, and you know, I have to say, when that email came out, given the nature of my role there, you know, It's I'm not going to get into all the nitty gritty. I was worried. I mean, first of all, everyone had to be worried. 17% when your company is not even 10,000, that's a huge, huge chunk. And so everyone had to be worried. But this time it was different. You know, the first two rounds of layoffs, I knew that we had legit, we had important work that we could only do. We being my very small team. This time, we had done most of that work. There's still things that need to be done. There are still things that really I think we are important for and have to offer, but it was just different. And I didn't have to wait 2 hours. I think it was only 30 minutes later that I got that dreaded invite. Now, here's the thing. It is always scary not to have a job. It is always scary. But and here's the truth, and I have to just tell myself this a lot. I wasn't happy over these last few weeks. Well, not the last few weeks, the past few months. I only worked there just over a year and a half, which is not a long time. I would say the last 5 to 6 months have been tough, really tough, and it got really, really tough in the last month and a half. I mean, I've actually talked about it on the show. I was not happy with my, you know, manager. I was not happy with my role and how it was, I felt like it was being kind of diminished. I did not like how we were being treated, on and on and on. And I was kind of raising hell about it. I don't think that went into the decision to include me in the layoffs. I really don't. It just seems much more random than that based on some of my colleagues who I know were also laid off, but I was not happy. I really wasn't happy. And I didn't really see a vision for growth, not in the way I was treated. Now, I will say this, the manager that I so hated, I couldn't, you know, when I say hated, I mean as a manager. This is nothing personal. I'm not going to, you know, obviously I'm not going to use names, but it wouldn't matter anyway. I don't care. It's nothing personal. It's not about them as a person or a human being. It is as a manager, they were awful, absolutely awful. Micromanaging, controlling, they would always try and throw their weight around to try and show you who's boss, make you feel small so that they could feel big. They were an absolute nightmare, and I hated them as a manager. I hated working under them. That is why I was so unhappy the last few months. They were also laid off.
Yay!
Which, I'm relieved for. I'm relieved for everyone else. It was not just me. Everyone hated this person. Hated this person. This person made people's lives miserable. Even people they didn't manage. I mean, they were just a nightmare. A nightmare. Because it wasn't just to their team that they would throw their weight around and, you know, just be a wretched bitch. But it was to on any call this person happened to be on. They always felt like they had to get the last word in. They always felt like they had to contribute, even if they really had nothing to say and clearly didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. I mean, everything you could ever conjure up. If you were to write a scripted fictional character that was just everything people hate in the corporate workplace, she was it. There, I let the cat out of the bag. It was a she. So I'm relieved for the people still there. They will not have to deal with her. And she really was a problem. She started a while after I did. And for the longest time, I did not work with her, certainly not under her. But you could just feel the dynamic of morale, the work environment, everything changed. It's really funny, too, because I actually spent part of yesterday, Sunday, working because I had to type up our upcoming development talks and kind of assessments, and we had to write reviews for ourselves and our managers. What a waste of fucking time and energy that turned out to be. But I was pretty proud of mine because I was brutal in hers. But I wasn't like personal and I wasn't, you know, vicious by any stretch. I just was very honest. And I said, you know, this team used to be collaborative, supportive. We all knew each other's strengths, our real assets and talents, what we brought to the table. And we leveraged those. We took advantage of those to enhance our own interactions with clients. You know, we liked to collaborate. We loved joining forces and working together to not just get the client what they needed, but, you know, build a bridge and really forge those relationships. Now, that all changed after this person started. It was gradual, but it was pretty quick. I mean, people went from collaborating and supporting each other to just being totally siloed to being completely miserable. No one would ever raise questions or ask for help because they knew that doing so would mean being completely shut out of the process, completely minimized and diminished and demeaned, or it would mean being so micromanaged that they would have their responses literally dictated to them. I mean, it was just miserable. So people would stop asking for help. Everyone just stopped asking for help. They stopped collaborating. They stopped talking. It was miserable. Everyone was miserable. So I'm glad she's gone, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. That's what I really want to get to, you know? And when I talk about being lucky, obviously, it's not lucky that I was laid off. But I have I'm not going to get into specifics, but I'll just say I'm lucky. The package that they gave me is pretty generous. And by that, I don't mean it's like, so I'm set for life. I can retire. Not in any stretch. Not even close. But I do have some time now that I can really take a breath and really dedicate to really thoroughly going out there looking for another role that is a better role and a better fit for me that I can really pursue. The problem is, it's just so goddamn hard to actually get those roles. I mean, I can put time and effort into finding some roles that I really like and think I'd be good at, but that doesn't even mean I'm going to be considered, much less hired. And that's the scary part. But the bottom line is I have some time to do that. I really do. I have a couple of months where I'll be okay. You know, I'm going to be okay. It is scary though. Man, it is scary. It's just scary not to know, not to have any jobs lined up. I mean, the truth of the matter is I was unhappy. I was very unhappy and I had been kind of browsing and putting applications out a little bit, but nothing really serious and nothing had led to anything. Like I hadn't really been interviewing or anything, but I was unhappy enough where I actually at one point was thinking about just quitting, straight up quitting, because I was miserable. I hated it. I would dread logging on each day. And so I don't think I ever really would have had the guts to do it, but I did consider just quitting, straight up quitting, not leaving for another position, just quitting. Period. End of story. That's how miserable I was. This makes it so that I don't have, if I had done that, if I had just straight up been like, fuck this, I can't do it anymore, I quit, goodbye, bitches. Well, then I would have been, then it would have just ended. I would have stopped getting paychecks. I would have stopped having any financial income completely, right there on the spot. With this situation, I have some time. I have, you know, I have a couple months. Not going to say exactly how many, but it's okay. You know, I have some months where I'll continue to get paid, and I still will have my health care, and I'll even still have some perks like our meal cards. They send us like a little debit card specifically for food that I'm still going to be refilled for the next like couple of months. I'm not going to say how many, but it's enough. So I'll be okay. I will be okay. I also didn't take like any goddamn vacation days, which is now probably a mistake because I think I'm only going to get 10, but they'll have to pay that out too. So it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. But man, I have to tell you. So when I got that email, it was tough. And then I went to bed and I did fall asleep. I was able to fall asleep thanks to a couple of sleep aids. I fell asleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, at first, I kind of forgotten. It felt like maybe it was all a bad dream. I think I woke up at like 6:30 or 7, which is actually, I typically work from home, so I usually can sleep later than that. I can sleep till like 8:30 or even 9 and still start work at 9. Couldn't go back to sleep. Once it hit me that that was waiting for me and that this was it, that was it. I mean, I was up. But I will say, and this is what I was starting to say at the very beginning of this, when we went through the first two rounds of layoffs and I saw colleagues of mine lose their jobs, I was stunned at how quickly they were, for lack of a better phrase, done away with. You know, when I quit my last position, I still had access. I had access to all of my accounts. I had access to my email. My computer was fully functional. My computer was fully functional until the day I sent it back. I had access to my email and all of my accounts for weeks. And really, I had access to certain things that I probably shouldn't have for months afterwards. With Spotify, not so much. I was stunned because I would see these people, you know, post on our kind of internal Slack channels, listen, I'm sorry to say that today's my last day. It's been great working with you. Stay in touch. And then within the hour, deactivated. Gone.
Bye-bye.
Gone. And hopefully forgotten. That's the message it sent. And I knew that's what was in store for me. And that's exactly what happened. So today, I had seen the email last night, so I knew it was coming. And I saw that my scheduled call with HR wasn't until 2:30. So I knew that I had the morning and the afternoon to do some things, send myself some documents, you know, save to flash drives what I really wanted to keep, and say goodbye. And that's what I did. And I had my call with HR, and literally within the hour, Spotify, they don't play around. My whole computer, I knew that I was going to lose access to like my accounts and stuff, but they go beyond that. Within the hour, my work computer just shuts off, black screen, and it says, this computer has been locked. It is owned by Spotify, and you are not part of the Spotify family. Fuck you.
You fat fuck.
I mean, really, you are locked out. You cannot even play Tetris on that computer. And sure enough, not long after that, Slack deactivated. So I'm officially a goner. But you know what? I'm hardly the only person going through this. It is interesting, and it's kind of, you know, one thing that does make it a little hard to take is we just had a great quarter. And you know, that's the thing I've never really understood, because Spotify has not if you read the press release or any of the news articles, it's all over the news now, but they say that in 2020 and 2021, during the pandemic, there was this big boon in, you know, listening and subscriptions and whatnot. And so they went crazy. They hired like crazy and they bought a lot of podcast studios. All true. But I don't feel like people have stopped listening to music now that the pandemic is over. I really don't. And we have not seen that reflected. I mean, we posted 34 million. We, I should stop saying that. They posted $34 million in operating income during its third quarter earnings call. $34 million in operating income. That was the first quarterly profit since 2021, but 2021 wasn't that long ago. So I have never understood the cuts and this massive cut. It's crazy to me. I will say, you know, almost immediately after the news broke, by the way, the stock price for Spotify went up 6 points. People were happy. Our stakeholders, they were happy. They were celebrating over 1,500 people losing their jobs. We live in a sick society in that way. I will never understand that. I will never understand that part. So it's tough. It sucks. It's scary. I've never been in this position. I mean, like, I really haven't, and I didn't see it coming. And I, you know, you look back, you get angry, you get confused, you wonder why me, and it's all true. You go through that stuff. But again, I have some cushion. They're going to keep paying me for a while. It'll be okay. And I have some contacts. I'll just get out there. I just have to start. People are keep telling me, like, maybe take some time for yourself, you know, maybe take a month off and just relax. I'm like, I don't think I can do that. I'm not that type. I don't, my number of years of experience, my first job in this industry was in March of 2020. That was 4 years ago. Not even. I feel like I've worked really hard, and I feel like I'm a long time veteran, but I'm not. And my contacts, while I think they are good ones, they're not super extensive. I've only ever worked for two companies. So anyway, it'll be okay. It will be okay. I'll find something. It'll be all right. All right. Anyway. And to everyone else who's going through this or who has gone through this in the past, I feel for you, and I'm sorry you're going through this. It fucking sucks, and you don't deserve it. And we certainly didn't deserve. And, you know, I have to say, I'm not going to bash Spotify. I know that it's a business and they have to make tough choices, but I think it's bullshit to send emails like that out overnight, and at 2 p.m. that day, people are cut off. I mean, like, then again, I don't know. Maybe it's not like, what would I want? Do I want to sit there and just not work? I mean, who knows? I don't know. I'm rambling now.
Moving right along.
Next item of news. Mark Cuban is leaving Shark Tank. Yes, during an appearance on the podcast, All the Smoke, a show I used to do the ads for back when I had a job.
Nobody cares.
Mark Cuban talked to the host and former NBA players Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson about his time on the entrepreneur series Shark Tank. Quote, this is our 15th year. Next year, 16th year, it's going to be my last, Cuban said. It is time. Many have speculated that this may be in preparation for a presidential run.
What?
I don't know. He also recently sold, I believe, the majority share of the Dallas Mavericks. Now that is, I think, the real story. Mark Cuban, even on Shark Tank, it was not a secret. That was his real passion. He loves being an owner of an NBA franchise, a sports owner, a team owner. He loves it. So to me, that move, that indicates that something big would have had to be behind that, would have had to be the motivation for him to make that move. I don't know what it is, but we'll see. I will say this. I think, and this is not a hot take.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
I think losing Mark Cuban is going to be a massive hit to Shark Tank. Because frankly, I really didn't know much about Mark Cuban before. In fact, I'm not like a regular viewer of Shark Tank. If it's on, I'll watch it, especially like in hotels and stuff. Way too many commercials, though. But regardless, he is the star of that, I think. Mr. Wonderful's fine, but you need Mark Cuban to play off of Mr. Wonderful. He's smart. He's He's firm, but he's also honest with people. He also has a clear heart. You can see that, but it's not so, it doesn't overwhelm him, meaning he doesn't make emotional decisions. I think it really, kind of like The Apprentice did for Donald Trump, it really kind of changed his image and painted him in a great light to American people, American television viewers. And I think it's going to be a massive loss. Having said that, I would recommend, if you really like the show Shark Tank, I really do recommend YouTubing Dragon's Den. Dragon's Den is the British version of Shark Tank. And I have to say, you know, I'm usually like, if I heard someone say that and I had never seen Dragon's Den, I'd be like, what the fuck? Why would we do that? We have Shark Tank. We don't need Dragon's Den, you stupid
bitch.
Well, if you go to YouTube and you search Dragon's Den, you see whole segments without all of the commercials. It's just less interruptions. I don't know. I like it better. I really do.
How fucking dare you?
I'm not even sure why. But regardless, the story here is that Mark Cuban will be leaving Shark Tank at the end of season 16. Huge loss for the show.
Moving right along.
All right. Next news story. This is a little, happens to be kind of personal to me, but not nearly as much as the first one. A young fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, lost again. They don't look great. They just don't look great. That's not the point. Not even going to get into that, okay? A young fan of the Kansas City Chiefs was caught on television wearing face paint, a headdress, stuff that I have feelings about and whatnot. But the complaint wasn't simply about, in fact, it had nothing to do with Native Americans, which is unusual. That's usually what people like to cry foul about when it comes to the Chiefs nowadays. They shouldn't use the term chief. That is stupid. That is wrong. And I'm just not even going to budge on it. I don't even, you know, we could get into it, but that's really not the point of this particular news story. They got on this young fan. I think maybe he's 9 years old, because they weren't upset that he was wearing a headdress. They weren't even upset that his face was painted. His face was painted in war paint. They were upset because typically, if people are going to dress up as this kid did, they will paint half their face red and half their face gold or yellow, because that makes sense. Those are the Chiefs' colors. I don't know why this kid did what he did, but instead of painting half his face red and half his face gold, he painted half his face red and half his face black. You know what? You know why he probably did that? It probably is comes down to a simple reason as they probably happen to have black and red face paint at their house, not gold. That's probably why. Halloween wasn't too long ago. They probably just happened to have some red and black face paint, and that's it. And so he painted it half red and half black. The news stories, and this was a national news story that followed that, just catching this kid on TV, accused him of doing blackface.
Seriously?
This 9-year-old football Kansas City Chiefs fan, they accused him of doing blackface, and a certain faction of people, called for Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, to take action against this fan. I don't know what they wanted him to do. Ban the kid from games? Kill the kid? I don't know. But here's the thing. We have to be more intelligent than this. We have to be more intelligent than this. Do we not know what blackface is? Anyone who accuses this kid of doing blackface doesn't know what it is. They don't understand what it is. Blackface is a very specific thing. You know, doing blackface, I don't really know if that's the term. Performers would paint their faces black specifically to mock and imitate stereotypical, what they consider to be exaggerated, stereotypical African-American mannerisms or behaviors or whatever. They were mocking them. They went on stage to mock black people. and they painted their faces black to do so. That is blackface. Minstrel shows. Coonery buffoonery, as Spike Lee would call it. This kid dressed up like so many people do at an NFL game.
Please, hello?
He was not mocking anybody. And if you want, now, here's the important thing here, because I actually, as stupid as I think it is, when I hear people argue that the Chiefs should change their name, and I say, when I say it's stupid, let me be very clear. I say it's stupid because, for one thing, they often equate it and put it in the same category as the former name of the Washington football team, Redskins. They say, well, if the, you know, Redskins change their name, why should one have to change it and not the other? Well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Because Redskin, I can't believe I've gone over this so many times, but whatever. Redskin is a pejorative. It is an insult. It is a word that, as far as I know, was invented, if not invented, certainly used to degrade, to hurt, to insult a very specific group of people, Native Americans. It is much like the N-word for African-American people. It is much like a certain F-word for homosexual people. I happen to be Jewish, pretty gay, so I'm just going to say I hate this word, and it actually makes my skin crawl to say it, but I can't believe there was ever a team called the Washington Redskins. To me, that would be like starting a new team in San Francisco and calling them the San Francisco Faggots.
Please, hello? Bing bong. Goodbye, sir.
It would never happen. It is so clearly and egregiously offensive that's why I just think it was crazy, and I was 1,000% for changing that name. Chief, okay, so we've got Redskin. That's akin to the N-word, the F-word for gay people, kike for Jewish people, people like me, chink for Chinese people, all those terrible, clearly hateful, nasty words. Chief, what is a chief? A chief is the leader of a tribe. Synonyms for chief are president, boss, captain, you know, captain, president, leader, chief. Those words are very different than Redskin category, okay? Not only that, but I'm not going to get into it, but if you look at the history of the name, the Kansas City Chiefs, and why they landed on that name, it has nothing to do with Native Americans. It was the nickname of the mayor who got the team to move from Dallas to Kansas City. Not even the point. So that is stupid in and of itself. And I feel strongly about it, and I can't imagine anyone will ever convince me otherwise. One thing I do, however, have, you know, understand and feel, recognize why it could be offensive is dressing up, is wearing the headdress, doing the war paint, doing the tomahawk chop. I understand that. I can understand why that would be viewed as kind of mocking Native Americans, and I think that that probably should be phased out. I really do. But we're not talking about that here. With this 9-year-old kid, we're not talking about him mocking Native Americans. They're saying he did blackface.
This is insanity.
Which to me actually just goes to show how disingenuous the argument is to begin with. They clearly don't see, like, if they really cared about what they said they were fighting for, how could they so easily shift and kind of, I guess, forget and overlook who it is they're saying is being offended and hurt? If we were having this debate about should he have been wearing war paint and the headdress, and should he be dressing up like a Native American, that's one thing, and I could actually, you know, I could see their point very much. But to say he did blackface, to act like he should be banned, this 9-year-old kid, what the fuck are we talking about? Have we all gone fucking crazy?
Yes!
And it does. It does. It damages the arguments, any legitimate argument someone might be making. It damages a legitimate argument to hear people spout nonsense like this.
I'm tired of the clown show.
Now, as I said, this was a national story. This was written about in every publication you could think of, and it was debated on various shows. I saw a number of clips on it. But here's the one I wanted to share with you, because this perfectly exemplifies what I'm talking about. This is a man and a woman. I can't remember what the organization is. I'll tell you in a minute. But they discuss this very story, and one of them recognizes just how stupid it really is. And as they discuss it, you hear his colleague, you know, they start talking about the situation at hand. Why are they accusing this 9-year-old kid of doing blackface? That's not what this is. And then they kind of pivot and start talking about the name Chiefs in general. And it devolves into a stupid conversation. Just listen, you'll see.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is facing pressure to speak out after a fan at this Kansas City Chiefs game at the stadium over the weekend was spotted with black paint covering half of his face and wearing a Native American headdress.
Some Twitter users, however, noted that the article from Deadspin erroneously stated that the fan was wearing blackface. That was in the headline at Deadspin. Users on Twitter pointed out several fans in attendance noted the other half of his face is painted red. So this is another one of those kind of viral social media controversies. The Deadspin article is, I mean, crazy in my view. It's headlined, "The NFL needs to speak out against the Kansas City Chiefs fan in blackface." Again, it's a little boy, like he needs to be denounced by the NFL. He is not, you know, committing the very appropriate wrongdoing of, you know, darkening his skin to mock black people, which is a historical trope, but is in fact, you know, wearing the colors of the team. The other side is red. It's just not, like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, so the Deadspin article does address some of that. It does say...
Okay, so here's what I want to point out. The man here, he's not a Chiefs fan, doesn't come off as a football fan, to be honest, and he's pointing it out, he's calling it for exactly what it is. His colleague, you can tell right from the beginning, yeah, you know, it's saying this and blah, 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 blah. You can tell that she sees this and is just knee-jerk to be like, oh, God, you know, cancel. Now, she's not going that far, but you can tell. His inclination is to be pragmatic and logical about it. Hers is to be emotional and just not very smart about it. Okay, here's their inaction.
It's just not, like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, so the Deadspin article does address some of that. It does say, so here's what they say. They say, here's some unanswered questions that are raised by this shot. Why did the camera person give this fan the attention? Why did the producer allow that camera angle to be aired at all? Is that fan a kid, a teenager, or a young adult? Despite their age, who taught that person that what they were wearing was appropriate? So I do think that the focus is a little bit less on the kid and more on the decision of the
why is the camera operator opening him up to the criticism of what we're about to do?
Well, no, I think it's a little bit different. So I would say that fans are going to fan, and people are allowed to, you know, write, let's say, a vulgar message on their chest. And you would expect that if someone wrote, eat S-H-I-T, mm-hmm. Eagles, that the camera would choose not to put that on national TV, right? It would be considered to be inappropriate. They might get some kind of FCC strike. You know, you can't curse on TV, and you wouldn't zoom in on a sign that said something inappropriate. Now, the question is, if we believe that is the case, you know, is the decision maker, is the camera operator or the producer of the show making a different kind of decision? Is this reflective of their values and that they think this is appropriate? And then if you abstract that out more broadly, there's this bigger question that the NFL Jesus. And other leagues have been dealing with for a long time, which is whether or not it's appropriate to have team names and mascots that are Native American people.
Okay.
Yikes.
That was a lot of words. I think she missed the mark there big time at the end. She just that last part.
And then if you abstract that out more broadly, there's this bigger question that the NFL and other leagues have been dealing with for a long time, which is whether or not.
Which is whether or not fans should dress up in Native American garb, paint their faces in war paint and whatnot. That's what she should have said. She instead pivoted to names.
Not it's appropriate to have team names and mascots that are Native American people. So So all of this is kind of like a nesting doll of concerns.
Can I just say one quick thing? Truth be told, yes, the team name is Kansas City Chiefs. And yes, a lot of fans do dress up in that garb and face paint. And I get it. And I've said that that's a conversation I'm open to and more than willing to have. And, you know, I think that could be phased out. The mascot, look this up. The mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs is actually not a Native American. It's not someone dressed in that garb. It's a wolf. The mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs is KC Wolf. It's a wolf character.
I don't think, to the extent that people are mad or focusing on this little boy, I agree that that's wrong. And it's clear that he's not doing blackface in a traditional way of what blackface means.
But no, I don't think that quite. No, he's not doing blackface at all. He's not doing blackface at all. A one portion of his face is painted black because he's dressed up as a Native American, not blackface.
Doll of concerns. I don't think, to the extent that people are mad or focusing on this little boy, I agree that that's wrong. And it's clear that he's not doing blackface in a traditional way of what blackface means. But I don't think that quite gets you out of these bigger questions about the league's obligation to deal with these kind of messaging issues around their mascots.
Sure. I mean, it does. There was a recent controversy that got covered at Reason while I also work of this this boy at a middle school who had on the black. His entire face was not covered with black. He had like the black kind of war paint look, which is a sports thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a very different thing. Mm-hmm. And he was suspended from school because of it. Actually, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression defended him as well. I cite them a lot lately, you know, pointing out that, no, he can't. This is legitimate expression, not political expression, just expression. And you can't punish him for this. It was a public high school. So there's a lot of conflation. Like, over time, I think some media critics, some of these sites like Deadspin have taken a very broad view of what counts as blackface all of a sudden that is not based in like historical reality and is just like looking for
exactly
people, usually kids, to be mad at. So that was kind of the backdrop as this was happening. Obviously, there are some people who think the Chiefs logo and the headdress is offensive and is not what they should do. Obviously, other teams, sports teams.
Again, I want to be clear. The Chiefs logo is an arrowhead. The Chiefs logo is an arrowhead with the letters KC intertwined in it. The headdress is not part of their logo. It never has been.
Have pivoted away from Native American names and imagery and that kind of thing. You know, it's like people can make up for their own mind whether they're offended by the Chiefs' name, that kind of thing. But
yeah, the Chiefs is rough. I mean, look, I understand
so?
Growing up with a franchise and you're committed to it. My family's from Cleveland. We've obviously just shifted to the Guardians. Everyone seems kind of okay with it. We're here in D.C. The Nationals were... Well,
the Redskins.
What?
I mean, like,
wrong.
I think the Nationals isn't as good a name as the Guardians, but that's for DC to work out. Picking a bad new
what?
Name.
The Commanders.
The Commanders. Yeah. So that is.
See, she doesn't even know what she's talking about. The Redskins became the Commanders. The Nationals. They were not. I mean, there was a baseball team in Washington called the Senators at one point. Anyway. I just think that this is an example of conflating things. I'm so with the guy here. I'm so with the guy. And I love that he doesn't come off as a sports fan at all. He's certainly not a KC fan. I people are going to say, oh, this is just because this is my team. It's really not. I mean, I don't like the idea of conflating one thing like the Redskin name, which really was offensive and really was crazy and should have been changed, to something like the Chiefs, which is totally different.
God damn it!
And frankly, I'm hardly the only one who thinks so. I've played all sorts of sound on it before. I don't really need to again, but I will. Here's Cenk Uygur, the founder and biggest personality on The Young Turks, the most far left, I would say woke, channel or network ever. Here's his opinion on the matter.
But do you think the Washington Redskins being forced to change their names was the right move? So that one's tricky too. So because now you have that name that's over the top offensive. There is no other meaning for
that word mm-hmm. other than to be derisive, right? Then you've got the Indians and you say, well, their mascot's terrible, but the name itself is not necessarily offensive. Then you got the Chiefs, a perfectly acceptable name. There's nothing wrong with it. Seminoles is actually.
Did you hear that? The Chiefs, it's perfectly acceptable name. There's nothing wrong with it. Thank you. You can't get more far left than him. And he's logical and intelligent enough to know that. Here's Bob Costas.
It seems like an appropriate time to acknowledge the ongoing controversy about the name Redskins. Let's start here. There's no reason to believe that owner Daniel Snyder or any official or player from his team harbors animus toward Native Americans or wishes to disrespect them. This is undoubtedly also true of the vast majority of those who don't think twice about the long-standing moniker. And in fact, as best can be determined, even a majority of Native Americans say they are not offended. But having stipulated that, there's still a distinction to be made. Objections to names like Braves, Chiefs, Warriors, and the like strike many of us as political correctness run amok. These nicknames honor rather than demean. They're pretty much the same as Vikings, Patriots, or even Cowboys. And names like Blackhawks, Seminoles, and Chippewas, while potentially more problematic, can still be okay, provided the symbols are appropriately respectful. Which is where the Cleveland Indians, with the combination of their name and...
Okay, I'm not even going to... You don't even need to hear the rest. He's clearly making a distinction, and that's all I'm asking people to do. Use your brains. Not every person accused... Like Al Franken. Al Franken, and frankly, Governor Andrew Cuomo. They are not Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein. Very, very, very different. I just can't believe, and this poor kid, I can't even imagine. Like, he just dressed up to go to the fucking Chiefs game with his dad, and now he's on national news being accused of blackface? I mean, he's in the third grade, for Christ's sake.
Moving right along.
All right. Last story I wanted to touch on. It's not even a story, really. It's just a thing I want to share. Billy Porter, who's very famous on Broadway. He was in the television show Pose, among others. Very famous musician, performer. He was recently interviewed. I think he just released a new album. And he was interviewed within the last few days on a British radio show, Channel 4 News, I believe. It was a long interview, great interview, covered a lot. Billy Porter is an interesting guy. He's very emotional and passionate and, you know, but he's smart. He's very smart. And at one point, they were talking about kind of how the music industry has changed for him as a black gay man. He talks about how, you know, his first album came out in 1997 and it was very different. He could never have been outwardly gay and stuff. And so he talks about the progress the industry's made and television and film, as well as music and theater. And then he just kind of in passing says, you know, I don't want to be the only out gay man in the public eye. You know, I want to see more people be their true selves and not have to kind of conform and all that stuff. And in doing so, he just references kind of in passing something Kamala Harris said. And it leads to another point he makes that I think is so important. And I'm so glad he did make it, and I want to play it for all of you now.
If I get somewhere, if I get a certain kind of success, I want to be able to fly those doors open for the folks coming behind me to get the same kind of success. You know, we must do that for each other. Like Kamala Harris says, she said, I might be the first, but I'm definitely not going to be the last. It's like, I don't want to be the only black queer person in, you know, vibrating in this space.
I mean, only because you bring her up, Kamala Harris might well be the first and the last, though, mightn't she? Because people are horrible about her.
It's all right. They're horrible about everybody. It's okay.
But she gets it particularly, doesn't she? Is that because she's a black woman?
Of course.
You know, they say she's not good enough.
She's a woman and she's black. So, you know, people are always going to talk mess. Joe Biden is 478 years old, and everything he said he was going to do, he has done. And the only thing people are talking about is his age. It's like, look at his record. It doesn't matter. His age doesn't matter. He's delivering on what he said he was going to do. This is not a normal cycle. It's not normal. If we don't lean into Biden, it will be Trump, and America will be done. Remember, children, Rome fell. Period.
I mean, plainly said, well said, and it is so goddamn true. I'm so tired of hearing, and I think it is sad and frankly kind of just crazy how much people have been willing, not willing, but enthusiastic and eager to fixate on Joe Biden's age. Look, I get it. I get it. Yes, he is not as spry and maybe sharp or, you know, agile as he once was. That said, he was hardly ever a, you know, he was always a gaffe machine. He used to have a severe stutter, so it's not like he was always the most eloquent presenting speaker, although I've seen some very powerful Joe Biden speeches. But the bottom line is, he's getting the job done. He's living up to what he said he would do. And all that aside, if you think about nothing else, think about this. If we don't lean in and embrace Joe Biden, it will be Trump. That's very hard for me to wrap my head around. That's very hard for me to accept, just because I'm so sad and stunned and frankly in kind of denial about the fact that this country could possibly even nominate Donald Trump after all that has happened. After all that he's done, after all of the peep, frankly, in 2016, I thought it was just as crazy to support him. And I thought that everyone supporting him and willing to be on his team after all that he had said and done up to that point, I thought they were just as corrupt and crazy and kind of just really cynical. But fast forward to today, and you've got all of those cynical, corrupt, nasty sons of bitches who were with him in 2016. 98% of them are now saying, holy shit, we were wrong. This guy is absolutely off his rocker. He is diabolical. He is fascist leaning. He is hardly fit to even sniff the White House. In fact, he has committed multiple legitimate felonious crimes. I cannot believe, and I don't know, you know, I don't really care what it's about. I'm not trying to analyze why Republicans feel the way they do and why right-leaning voters would embrace him still and how should we respond. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, facts over feelings, facts over feelings. They love to say that. And yet, they live in fantasy world. They live in this alternate reality where lies are truth, crimes are like heroic, good is bad, down is up, black is white. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. But the fact of the matter is, I pray to God that he isn't the Republican nominee, but all indications are he's going to be, which means it is going to be a concrete choice. And frankly, if it was Chris Christie, if it was, that's who I want to see nominated. I don't think he will. It looks like the only person who stands a snowball's chance in hell is Nikki Haley, but I don't know. I wouldn't like to, it doesn't matter. Think about all that has happened as a result of Trump's 4 years in the White House. He got to put more people on the Supreme Court than most two-term presidents ever dream of putting. Three justices. Three. In 4 years. Barack Obama didn't get that many. He only got two in 8 years. I mean, and it is so, and it led to the repeal of Roe versus Wade. It matters. It matters. So snap the fuck out of it. You don't have to hang out with him. And he's doing what he said he would do. So I just worry. I'm so tired of fighting from within.
He's so old.
Okay. You know, okay. And it's a binary choice, folks. I just can't believe that we're going to have to do this again. I mean, really, that's it.
And that is the news of the day.
All right, you're listening to The Next Best Thing on Radio Free Brooklyn.
If you enjoy this show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or whatever it's called. We're also available on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, TuneIn, basically wherever podcasts are found. If you can find podcasts there, you can find us there. Follow us on Twitter. We're at
Next Best Radio. That's at Next Best Radio.
And of course, feel free to follow me. I'm at J-O-N, B as in boy, L-E-R-N-E-R. That's J-O-N, no H. B as in boy, L-E-R-N-E-R. That's my handle on Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.